This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The race for Hamilton County Sheriff is a rematch this year. But this time, the incumbent is Sheriff Charmaine McGuffey, and her opponent, former Sheriff Jim Neal, is running with a different party. We sat down with both candidates. You'll hear the interviews in the order they were recorded. Former Hamilton County Sheriff Jim Neal joins me in this recorded interview to talk about why he's running again. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Lucy May.
Well, Mr. Neal, you served as Hamilton County Sheriff from 2012 to 2020 as a Democrat. The current sheriff, Charmaine McGuffey, also a Democrat, unseated you in 2020. Now you're seeking to run again, this time as a Republican. First, what made you decide to run again, and why this time as a Republican?
I'll go back a little bit. You mentioned Charmaine McGuffey. When I was sheriff, I appointed Charmaine McGuffey as a major to run the county jail. So I've known her since college, so wanted to put that on the record. So in my administration, Charmaine was also a part of that administration. The Democratic Party left me, and what I mean by that is I was a union Democrat. But when the party was seeking to get more out of me in support of an agenda, I says, I'm a lawman. I support the rule of law. I cannot support Sanctuary City. I don't like the direction of the bail bond reform program. I like the way we're doing it now. And I really like the way we were working with the judges to find jail cell space when we needed it for violent offenders. So, and being a West Side Catholic didn't bode well with the party, and the mayor, when he was running for Congress, Aftab Perval, he looked at me for an endorsement. I says, I'm a West Sider. I grew up with the Shabbats. I got to stay out of this, you know. But yeah. But I was a union Democrat, a big supporter of the working men and women. As you know, like yourself, all of us in conjunction, you know, together in concert, make the world go round, and big support of labor. But that wasn't good enough. So the party left me. I took a year off and then decided I didn't like the direction the sheriff's office was going, the state of the office, and I'll just leave it at that. And I met with the chairman of the Republican Party, Alex, before he left to go up to Columbus to be the chair of the state party, and said, I'm interested in running for sheriff, but right now, what can I do to serve? And so the election was coming up, the primary was coming up. And I went ahead and ran for precinct executive for the Republican Party. So I got the votes I needed, and I became a precinct executive for the Republican Party. And subsequent to that, they appointed me to the executive committee and their county central committee. So a year ago, I was a Democrat. Now I'm a decision maker for the Republican Party. What a change. But I haven't changed. I'm still Jim Neal. I'm about, you know, the people. And that's what's important about this race as well. A sheriff that serves the people sheriff, not a party sheriff, but the people sheriff. If you want a party sheriff, you got one. But I'm running to serve as the people sheriff.
Now, you say the party left you, but the party leaders, as I understand it, were not happy when you went to a Donald Trump rally. What kind of role do you think that played in that decision?
Oh, that was probably the icing on the cake. It wasn't the cake itself, but it was the icing on the cake, because what I described to you was the ingredients that, you know, that made the cake. Being at the Trump rally in their eyes was the icing on the cake. But being at that rally, if I wasn't there sitting with the sheriff up there in Butler County and performing my duty as sheriff and assisting, because just for the record, I was, when I retired, I was the only sheriff in the United States that was a certified bomb technician. So I was involved in dignitary protection for many years, going back to President Clinton. I would have been there anyway, but since I was there seated, it looked bad. But I never claimed to be a good politician, but I'm a very good lawman, and I took pride in being a good sheriff, and a good sheriff would have been there. But just for the record, too, Donald Trump was a big supporter of law enforcement, and although I was at that time a Democrat sheriff, I was still, was involved in law enforcement. And here you go, you have a candidate who's a big supporter of law enforcement. So it got, it just looked bad. But my intentions, I feel, were good. My the timing and how I did it didn't look good. You know, if I would have been standing with my arms crossed with that stern look, it would have been different. But sitting down, and sitting down with the sheriff in Butler County, who the elected Democrats in Hamilton County, they do not like him.
Yeah. <laughs> They
do not like him. So sitting down next to a man they do not like, that didn't bode well either. So you can see how that, you know, that was the icing on the cake. In the future, if, and by the way, when Hillary came to the museum, I was there providing. And no one's saying anything about that. But the fact is, a dignitary is a dignitary. And we in law enforcement take an oath to uphold and enforce the laws and do what we can to keep our people safe, and that includes our dignitaries.
You mentioned that, you know, you're now on the Hamilton County Republican Party Central Committee, taking an important role there. Do you think it is important that the next sheriff of our of Hamilton County be a Republican, and what do you think you could bring to the job if you are returned to the office?
Oh, I'm 100% focused on public safety. And I want to make sure that the people in Hamilton County feel safe. It's the feeling of being safe. And right now, the people in our community, they just don't feel safe like they used to several years ago. It's very dangerous to attend games and concert events, and they've even shut down a high school football game because of violence somewhat recently. But I'm determined to make Hamilton County a safer place for us to raise our family, and I'm a father of two young boys, 10 and 11, and I'm determined to make Hamilton County safer for us to raise our family, safer for you as a business owner or an employee of a business to enjoy a day of, at work and feel safe doing so without being victimized by our predators. And then also, I want a community where we can enjoy ourselves and attend the concerts, attend the zoo, attend the museum, attend the Bengals games, the Red games, the soccer games, the hockey games, to feel safe to do all that fun stuff, because we're unique in Cincinnati. We're a small, big city. We have everything the big cities have except for the population. But that's booming right now. It's growing due to the open borders. With Cincinnati being a sanctuary city, we're getting our fair share of immigrants. But yes, I'm focused on public safety. I'm sure you heard the stats of that they're putting out on known criminals that have migrated into this country. They have, of known criminals, over 425,000 known criminals that they identified that crossed the border and are in this country.
And, when you say
and that's known criminals. What about the unknown that crossed, that are unaccounted for? And the stats, also this from that same group, 15,000 involved in sexual assault and 13,000 involved in homicides.
And which group is generating those stats?
From the, those are the federal government, you know, because they catch and release. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our federal partners.
You mentioned this federal statistics that I'm not familiar with, I have to confess, about you called them known criminals being admitted to the U.S. I've seen statistics that immigrants are the least likely to commit crimes, that most crimes in this country are committed by people who were born here. I haven't seen these federal statistics that you're talking about.
Right. It depends on what news outlet you listen to. I got my stats that I just shared with you from Fox News Cable, mm-hmm. and they got their stats from, you know, the federal agencies that are monitoring, you know, the Homeland Security, the Border Patrol, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, those agencies. But those are known, that doesn't include the gotaways. So you add that to our population of homegrown criminals, you're adding more. And there has been reports of these countries emptying out their prisons, emptying out their jails and their mental hospitals, and sending that population across and into our country, across the border into our country. But when we're speaking of borders, we're talking both the southern border and the northern border, because people can enter this country from Canada as well, not just Mexico. And we got borders north, south, east, and west.
How would you handle staffing shortages in the jail if you're reelected sheriff? Concerns have been raised about staffing recently.
Oh, absolutely. As you know, although I was a former Democrat, I don't demonize law enforcement like some of the people in my party have done. My old party, my current party, does not demonize law enforcement. But it all starts with leadership, having a leader that supports the operation. And listen, as sheriff, here's what I want you to do. You took an oath of the office just like I did. Go out there, do your job. I support you. If someone flagrantly violates the laws, you know, do your job. You have discretion. All humans have discretion. But when it comes to law enforcement, do your job. Enforce the laws. We took an oath to enforce the laws in the state of Ohio, uphold the Constitution. By all means, do that. Stay out of the political agendas. And so that's where a problem occurs in law enforcement, when the agendas creep into our enforcing of the laws. When now we're enforcing laws according to a political agenda instead of the Ohio Revised Code. And I will not legislate in the office of sheriff. I will be enforcing the laws. I will not be legislating and creating policy that, will allow deputies to enforce party agendas instead of the Ohio Revised Code. So
you mentioned that your former party, the Democrats, in your view, demonize law enforcement. How do you think they do that?
Not Democrats, but some of the elected, some of the activists in the party, defunding police, demonizing us, you know, for something an officer did states away. You know, we're all putting us all in the same category, you know. And I just want you to know, and your listeners to know, we here in Cincinnati and Hamilton County, we're the standard when it comes to law enforcement. Been there and done that. I remember under Chief Stryker, the problems he had and the changes we made subsequent to that. We were ahead of the ball game when it came to, you know, quality law enforcement. And to compare us to an agency that there was an incident or a matter that occurred.
And who did you hear make those comparisons? Was like that something that Sheriff McGuffey, that you heard her say?
Oh,
was
no.
What
no,
these were
no,
activists?
No.
Were there particular activists that you're thinking of?
It's, you see it when you watch the news, you know, when they're being interviewed. But there are electeds at all levels of government that do not support. We have local electeds in Cincinnati that supported defunding law enforcement.
Like which ones that you do you recall which ones?
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, so, you know, that's, but yeah, we do have, we do have electeds that do not support us. There are people from the party that I came from, and you remember, I was a Democrat for 8 years as sheriff. So I was with these people on and off on a regular basis. Democrats, just like Republicans and independents, we got really good people that live in the county. But at the elected level, once you're an elected Republican, an elected Democrat, an activist for the Republican Party, an activist for the Democratic Party, that's what I'm talking about. These people that are elected and activists, some of the agenda that you can follow when you're watching your favorite news station, cable news or local news, discuss them. But we do have local candidates that do not support law enforcement and that advocated for defunding law enforcement. And I'll just leave it at that. But to me personally, no. No.
Mm-hmm.
They never advocated that to me personally as sheriff, but it's a problem. It's led to a decline in law enforcement in this country, the demonization of law enforcement. Fewer and fewer choose the profession as a career choice because of the constant negativity. And it's the squeaky wheel. Like I said, it's the activist. And some of the activists become elected. And it's helped created the problem because it was a question you asked me. What are you going to do to recruit? Well, it's going to take positive and the right leadership to do that. Because right now the sheriff's office is... it's the staffing levels are low, and just like other large agencies in this area, we need to beef up our numbers, our staffing, and it's just hard to recruit. But I when I was sheriff, when I left office in January 21, 2021, every floor in the Justice Center was open for business. It's not that today.
What would your plan be for day one if you're elected sheriff in this
election? Day one is first and foremost, hire, hire, hire. We got to get right-sized so that we can provide the services that the community expects and that the community deserves. We got to get right-sized again so that – because there's law enforcement, there is – a call on us on a regular basis because when people don't know who to call, they call us. So we're one heck of a referral service too. So there's a lot of requests for our services. And it's the biggest part of what we do in law enforcement. And then, of course, the next would be maintaining the peace and then finally enforcing the actual laws and effecting arrests. That's the smallest piece of what we do, really.
Do you envision that Hamilton County would work more closely with federal immigration authorities if you were sheriff?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because with the population that's the people that are not violating our laws don't need to worry or fear the sheriff. But if you're one of those violent offenders, you're a criminal, and you come into this country to victimize our citizens, if you're arrested, that arrest will be reported to Immigration and Customs. That won't be kept from them. And when we're done, if you're a sentenced offender and you serve your time, if Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, has a holder on you, that will be honored. First and foremost, the offenders I'm talking about are not U.S. citizens. We have our own homegrown criminals, but when they're arrested, I can't turn them over to ICE for deportation. But if you're not a citizen and you're here and here exclusively to violate our laws, to make profit on crime, and to victimize our citizens when you're arrested, absolutely, I'll work with ICE to have you deported back to where you came from. Or sometimes ICE just wants to interview them before the release, but sometimes they actually take custody of them and deport them because there's, like I say, there's some very serious offenders that are crossing the border, some very serious criminals that are crossing that border, and they make a profit on crime. It's not just human trafficking and drug trafficking. It's all kinds of crimes. And like I say, there's some serious offenders that are already in this country. The stats that I've seen on the news, actually this morning, they had 13,000 homicide that were involved in homicides in the country they came from, or and 15,000 sex offenders, and just 425,000 offenders. And those are the known. Those aren't the gotaways or the unknown. You could easily say over a half a million people, half a million criminals are now infiltrated into this country from other countries. Mm-hmm. And terrorists, we can't forget about them. When you have open borders, the bad come with the good.
We'll definitely have to look up those federal statistics that you're referring to.
Yes.
I've been talking with former Hamilton County Sheriff Jim Neal. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
In our interview with Jim Neal, he referenced federal data on immigrants in the U.S. with criminal convictions. According to the Department of Homeland Security, the data goes back decades and includes individuals who entered the country over the past 40 years or more. Up next, we'll hear from the incumbent, Hamilton County Sheriff Charmaine McGuffey. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We continue our election coverage with a focus on the race for Hamilton County Sheriff. I'm joined now in this recorded interview by Hamilton County Sheriff Charmaine McGuffey. Sheriff McGuffey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Lucy.
Sheriff McGuffey, you've been in office since 2021. You ran against your former boss, Jim Neal. Why did you decide back then we needed a change in leadership?
Well, I decided that I needed to run this department, the Hamilton County Sheriff's Department, because it really was under his leadership diving into chaos. I mean, I knew when I left the department, because he fired me, that the use of forces were just exponentially wrong in many, many ways. I knew that the restraint chair was being used and abused, and it should not be. I knew that there were uniformed deputies that were not being held accountable for their behavior. And I decided that I could do better. And in fact, I had plans, and I brought those plans with me.
Former Sheriff Neal was a Democrat in 2020 when you ran against him, but the party gave you their endorsement. He's now running as a Republican to try to unseat you. Why did the Democratic Party give you the endorsement back in 2020?
The Democratic Party did interviews, and they interviewed all candidates. And the interviews included questions about what your perception of race is in regards to the criminal justice system, what your plans are for, like, the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office and so forth. And Jim's answers were certainly not Democratic. Many of them landed in the region of him siding with another sheriff who is in Butler County and has quite a different look in the way that he does business. And they based that assessment on those interviews, and they gave me the endorsement.
Former Sheriff Simon Lease, who's a Republican, recently gave you his endorsement too. Why do you think that is?
Well, it's because I worked for Sheriff Simon Lease for 26 years, and Quite frankly, I ran some of his most prized programs. I held the rank of captain. He promoted me to that rank. I ran many of the incoming programs, like the Corrections Training Academy, the Honor Guard. I ran that. I was a hostage negotiator, the lead negotiator. I did a number of things and wore a number of hats for that administration. And I learned quite a bit from Sheriff Lease about managing a budget and that sort of thing. So he got a very, very good look at my work ethic, who I am, and he knows I'm law and order. And quite frankly, he approached me and said that he would endorse me.
You mentioned that when you first got into office and when you talked to the Democrats about an endorsement, you had some plans for what you wanted to do when you got there. Can you tell us a little bit more about those plans for use of force and the other plans that you brought with you when you were elected?
Absolutely. I explained to them that my number one priority was to change the culture, making sure that everybody is held accountable, because I am a law and order sheriff, and I was going to be a law and order sheriff. And I also explained to them that I wanted to balance the budget. I explained to them that the Justice Center needed rehabbing, right, because it was very decayed. The prior administration had not paid attention to it. I explained my staffing model, my new staffing model that I was going to bring to the table. And I also talked about diversity and the fact that I was going to bring intentional diversity to the command staff. And I'll just say, everything that I promised in my campaign in 2020, I have done. I have accomplished each and every one of those things.
How would you handle current staffing shortages at the jail? There have been concerns raised about that recently.
Right. Well, I'm very proud to announce that we are actually properly staffed. And we're properly staffed because we worked a staffing model that I brought into the agency when I became sheriff. And that model included certifying as police officers 80 additional deputies. And that was a way to entice people to come into our organization and work in the jail as jail service officers. And it has worked very well. We also brought on a human resource actual manager. And she has tapped into markets that, quite frankly, we didn't know to tap into. And we are fully staffed. We're very, very proud of that because we are bucking the trend across the nation for police agencies.
What kind of difference does that make for you to be fully staffed?
Oh, it makes a world of difference, in particular for the residents of Hamilton County, because it means that our deputies are working as they should and doing the things they need to do in that jail, making sure that we have zero lawsuits regarding the treatment of prisoners, people who are incarcerated. It means that we have deputies available to work off-duty details for events and different people that need security on the outside. And it means a safer community for Hamilton County.
What do you think was the cause of the staffing problems that have existed in the past?
Well, for the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office, I think a part of it was lack of focus. The training plan from the past administration was not a very good one. It was very haphazard. And quite frankly, they were hiring people who were coming onto the department and working in a very unaccountable way. And, you know, as that got out of control, officers were being attacked in that jail, which I have exponentially lowered that to zero, almost zero. It was out of control, the use of forces, the attacks on officers, the fact that the prior administration, Jim Neal, allowed those locks to be compromised in that jail so that the incarcerated people could literally come right out of their cells. And he knew those locks were compromised, and he continued to allow things like cardboard to enter the facility, which is what they were using to compromise those locks. So when people don't feel safe and they're not working in a clean and organized environment, a safe environment, they're just not going to join your organization. Particularly, the chain of command had collapsed. So we have fixed all of those things, and we are attracting people because of our leadership.
You kind of referred to this, but, you know, across the country, we're seeing staffing shortages in law enforcement. It's a very difficult profession, obviously. How can you ensure you won't have that problem again?
Well, we're working towards continuing to stabilize our staff, which means growing them and making them stronger and training them and giving them investment in the organization, which means promotions, promotions to road patrol, to ranks, lieutenants, sergeants, et cetera. And the other thing I'm doing is I brought on a wellness program, which supports these officers. Our wellness program makes sure that when officers are struggling, we are there to help. And, you know, when people realize that you have wraparound services for them, they are much more likely to stay in your organization, particularly when they know that you are giving them opportunities, regardless of whether they're Black, white, Republican, Democrat. They're wearing that uniform. They're in our department as a deputy. They are going to achieve, and I am going to celebrate their service.
We were talking about the jail. In 2022, four inmates escaped from the jail within 3 weeks, and you faced some criticism for your handling of all that whole situation. Talk to me about that. How do you respond to that?
So, first of all, I was very transparent in what happened. I gave every interview from every media outlet that wanted an interview or an explanation, and I am very proud of that. We did have infrastructure problems. We certainly did. Things were broken. Things weren't working right. One of the escapes was because one of the doors that led to the outside, the intercom had broken, the camera had broken, and no one had fixed it. So those were problems that I inherited. And as we experienced those escapes, I promised the people of Hamilton County that I would fix that, and I have. And I'm going to knock on wood when I say this, but we have a very secure and safe facility now.
There is a lot of national debate about securing our southern border. There are some who cite safety concerns with the border. Mm-hmm. What does your data from the Hamilton County Justice Center tell you when it comes to who's being incarcerated there for criminal charges?
So we do have undocumented people who are criminally charged. Many of them come in with more low-level charges, right, that are things in the arena of traffic, OVIs, people who are driving without a license, things like that. We have disorderly conduct, public intoxication, things, and then some more serious things like domestic violence, assaults. And our goal is to hold on to those people, right? We want them incarcerated. And I have recently been working with ICE on a very particular type of undocumented immigrant, and that is someone who is involved in organized crime. I've been meeting with the FBI and ICE, and we are fashioning programs and strategies to hold those people in incarceration, hold them accountable for their organized crime, and we are making great strides in that area. So I do tell people this: when someone is incarcerated, whether they're documented or undocumented, they're going to be treated fairly. They're going to be in a safe and secure environment in our jail.
How often does that come up? You mentioned that there are some undocumented people. Do you have any idea what percentage of the jail population
it
is?
We've had in one particular year somewhere in the ballpark of about 70 people who were undocumented who came into our facility. Now, we do have an agreement with ICE that they are notified via computer. I mean, they're on that link. So it goes to California, and then from California, we will get a message asking us to notify them if this person is going to be released from jail. And that is what we've been doing.
And that's 70 out of, I assume, thousands? I mean, what?
Well, our jail is the third largest in the state of Ohio, and right now our population is 1,200.
Okay.
And that is a pretty close daily population number.
Okay. And it turns over for as people?
Oh, yes. It turns over. We can release up to 80 inmates a day, and we can take in up to 80 a mm-hmm. day. So the number of 70 that I gave you for an entire year is really a very small number.
Okay. We were talking about, or you were talking about, the infrastructure challenges that you faced with the jail when you first became sheriff. Mm-hmm. Was that a question of a budgetary challenge? I mean, are you getting the kind of budgetary resources you need to do what you need to do?
I have gotten tremendous support from the Hamilton County commissioners because they understand, and I walked them through that jail and showed them what we inherited. The prior administration in those 8 years not only had ignored the infrastructure of the jail and the fact that it was decaying, but they didn't do anything at all to fix it. They didn't appropriate money. They didn't ask for money to fix it. They didn't create a plan to fix it. And those are all things that I did within my first year of landing as sheriff, and now they've come to fruition. Now we have brand new locks. The elevators have been fixed. The facility is being painted and polished up. It's clean. It's safe. And I have to tell you, the people that are incarcerated are thanking us for that. They want to live in a clean and safe environment.
If you are reelected as sheriff, what's your plan on day one?
So I have a few plans for the next term. One of the major objectives that I have is to create a mental health facility inside that jail. And when I say that, I mean that I want to go to a dormitory style setting for people who are experiencing mental health issues, true mental health issues that are very serious in nature. And sometimes that also means forced medication. It means a robust connection to the mental health agencies out in the tri-state area so that we can utilize all hands on deck and have a wraparound so that when these people who come to us and are suffering, we can restore them, right? Much like a mini summit. If anyone's familiar with that, that is a hospital that mentally ill people can be incarcerated in. And we're going to take the overflow, because they're so full, we are going to restore those people, and we are going to make sure that they stay connected to services and people who can help them. And that is going to be something that no other agency in the state of Ohio has done.
How big an issue is that for you at the jail? I mean, how is that a huge problem? Do you have a lot of people coming in who are struggling with mental health?
Right. So I will give you a percentage. 70% of the people that are incarcerated in our jail struggle with mental health issues and a dual diagnosis of addiction. So many of those people are addicted because they're self-medicating, and they also struggle with mental health issues. And 70% of your population is, well, it's large, as you can imagine. So we're putting all of our services together, and I am championing very robust and good mental health services, but also medical as well.
Yeah. How that sounds very challenging to have 70% of your population struggling with mental health, many with a dual diagnosis and of substance use disorder. Mm-hmm. Is the jail where they should be? I mean, there's been a lot of talk across the country about how so many people with severe mental illness end up incarcerated because there's no place else for them to go.
Exactly. And you're exactly right. We are the largest mental health facility in the region for that reason. But what I'm doing to remedy that is, as I said, creating a mental health facility that restores people, not just lock them in cells, leave them isolated for, long periods of time and kind of just do a little Band-Aid on their medication. I'm talking about real engagement for those people. I also have embraced a program for addicted people that they come in, and we also have a Suboxone medicated treatment for those individuals that are incarcerated, because that prevents deaths. And so, yes, it's a large problem, but we have a very strong handle on that, and we're continuing to make improvements across the board in both of those arenas.
You mentioned a mental health area in the jail. Is there mm-hmm. any other major change you'd like to make if reelected?
Well, one of the other things I'm going to do is collect data. We are replacing our 30-year-old data system. Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been a challenge, but we have it appropriated. It's already in place. We're working on getting it engaged right now, and we are going to be able to have predictive crime data, predictive data as it relates to incarceration, and I'm looking for that to be a game changer in the way that we approach people who are incarcerated, who really can move on in life, and we can have a predictive model of what works best for who.
And what do you plan to do with that information once you have
it? Well, once we have the data, I'm going to use it as a predictive model, but I'm also going to push it out to the public. I think people are going to be very interested to know who's incarcerated and why. And I have to tell you that I have partnered. I'm a great collaborator. I collaborate with all agencies across the tri-state, and there are people in those agencies that are going to be very interested in partnering with us and helping us in, you know, a particular arena that they have expertise in. So I plan on doing that. I plan on connecting further. You know, I recently got an award from the Hamilton County Police Association for my collaboration with that police association. And it's just another thing that I do in the way of moving the mark forward.
Well, I have been talking with Hamilton County Sheriff Charmaine McGuffey, who is the Democratic candidate in the Hamilton County Sheriff's race. Thank you so much for your time today, Sheriff McGuffey.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, we'll have more on the race for Hamilton County Sheriff. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We continue our coverage of the Hamilton County Sheriff's race by discussing claims the candidates made during their interviews. Joining me in this recorded interview is WVXU senior political analyst Howard Wilkinson. Thanks for being here, Howard.
Thank you.
Howard, during our interview with former Sheriff Jim Neal, who of course is running for sheriff this year as a Republican, he said the Democratic Party left him. He said he's a West Side Catholic, which didn't bode well with the party. Tell us what you know about his split with the Hamilton County Democratic Party.
Well, first of all, being a West Side Catholic had nothing to do with it, zero. It was about a rally that Donald Trump held in Westchester in 2020 in his reelection campaign. Neal was invited to that by Sheriff Jones up in Butler County, who was a friend of his, and he went. And he was on stage, standing directly behind Trump, along with other sheriffs and law enforcement people. And when Democrats in Hamilton County saw this, they couldn't believe what they were seeing, because he was a Democrat. He was elected sheriff as a Democrat, and he needed to get the Democratic Party endorsement in order to run again for office in 2020. And Charmaine McGuffey was the challenger, the person who was putting together a campaign and was going to challenge him for the Democratic nomination. Now, I was at a very large meeting of the Democratic Executive Committee. It took place at the Laborers Hall in Evanston. And that was where there was a major and very loud discussion about whether or not Neal would get an endorsement from the Democratic Party, because people were angry. I mean, they were literally angry at him for, in essence, campaigning with Donald Trump in the 2020 election. And he lost that. They told him, he said, no, we're not going to endorse you because of this incident, and we're going to endorse Charmaine McGuffey instead, which is exactly what happened. But it had nothing whatsoever to do with being a West Side Catholic, because there were plenty of West Side Catholics in that room.
Now, didn't I wanted to mention, we did ask Sheriff or former Sheriff Neal about that Trump rally, and he kind of implied that he was there to help with security, like that he helps out with all kinds of security measures when prominent people come to town.
That's not what he said at that meeting. Absolutely not. He was there. He was on the podium. He was standing behind Trump next to Sheriff Jones. And it looked like any reasonable person watching that rally on television would assume, oh, Jim Neal is for Donald Trump. As far as security, I don't know why they would need him, because the place was calling the security. It was the Secret Service protects the presidential candidates and the President of the United States.
Jim Neal also said there are people in the Democratic Party who demonize law enforcement. He talked about activists in the party, but he wouldn't name names. We tried to ask him for names. What are your thoughts on that?
All I can tell you is that, I mean, yeah, there are people in the Democratic Party who have issues with law enforcement and how they conduct themselves sometimes, but I can tell you this, that the Hamilton County Democratic Party and the Cincinnati Democratic Committee is in total support of Charmaine McGuffey and always has been. And they have no problem with how the sheriff's office is being run.
One of the things that the former sheriff also told us, he says there are 425,000 immigrants in the country who are known criminals. The Department of Homeland Security says that figure includes people who came into the U.S. as long as 40 years ago. How do we put all that into context?
Well, I think you just did. I mean, that's a number that's being used by the Trump campaign and others on the Republican side. But it is a cumulative number over 40 years, four decades. And when you break it down into that, it really doesn't amount to a whole lot.
Well, I've been talking with WVXU senior political analyst Howard Wilkinson. Thanks so much for your time today, Howard.
Thank you, Lucy.
We talked to Sheriff McGuffey about use of force and also about staffing. She said she's addressed restraint policies and that the jail is now fully staffed. We requested public records to verify her claims, and our website has the details. For more election information, check out our WVXU election guide on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. Rob Fetters composed our theme music. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.